This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
One in the books, two to go. Plenty more of the big show. 2 hours on the clock as we continue to roll on. Barry, Nick, and Joel from the Gow Media Studios. 2:30, we'll have a little special guest for you on that. Are you flexing for me? Usual Suspects Weight Loss Challenge. One of the trainers from the Houstonian will be joining us to talk a little bit about health and fitness and maybe some tips that you guys might be able to use.
I'm not flexing for you. I have a pimple.
On your,
nobody wants to see that.
On the inside of my bicep.
You know there's going to be additions to
Barry's flabby arms.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care about that. Grow up. All texting. No tweeting. But I've had it since yesterday. And a lot of times if you get one of these little pimples like that, it's just like, oh, you just squeeze it, and then it goes away. Well, this sumbitch came back bigger. And it's in that spot.
You know what they say? If you play with it, it grows.
You ever pinch that area? That is like one of the most sensitive areas.
Oh, when you were a kid in school, if you pinch the back of someone's arm, yeah, it's like hitting with a laser beam.
I was in there yesterday trying to squeeze that thing. I was bullying myself, it felt like. I was just like, this hurts so bad. So yeah, I'm not flexing. I'm just
spreading your pus all over the studio.
You know what? Do what I can.
That's not very sterile.
I'm gonna put that in your face.
Nobody wants to see it. Nobody wants to be around you when you pop your pimple.
You think Barry brought two holsters, Nick, for the gun show that he's showing you right now? You want some Band-Aids? Because he's cut.
He's doing t-shirt jokes.
You got sewing kits? Because he's ripped.
You seen Barry shirtless?
No, thanks.
Oh,
I'm good.
Yeah. Oh, huh?
I haven't seen him shirtless.
Joel's seen you shirtless. Absolutely.
Yeah. We party like that.
If that was the case, I would have been swooning over him like you did Giannis and who was the one? And Fareed.
Yeah.
I'd be tweeting out, I'm sitting real close to Barry right now. He's doing comedy and he is ripped.
I'd let him toss me around. What? Nick, don't say that. That makes it weird. I'd let Kenneth Fareed toss me around.
His ball handling is all world.
He could bang. I'd bang down low with him.
What?
No, Nick, don't say those
please
things.
Keep going.
You're making it weird.
So, can I tell you this?
You better not take that out of context, jerk.
Oh, my God. When we used to do Rockets games, and obviously you can't see us, Craig Ackerman was the king of like certain phrases that he loved that no one else really got as much enjoyment out of.
Yeah.
And one of them was when there were two big men down on the low block going at it. He literally would look at me and give me one of those winky smiles like he was really pulling one over on people when he was like, they're down on the low block, bumping uglies. Boom, are they bumping uglies? He'll go, ha! And look at me. I was like, really? Is it that big? And he thought that was so cute that he was bumping uglies.
He was just cracking himself up.
Oh, my God,
that's hilarious.
Yes. And the other one was one that I told you guys about, the fact that Nick Stauskas got the nickname of Sauce Castillo. And he's really known on the internet and otherwise by Sauce Castillo. And everybody knows the nickname but didn't know why. It was like an internet sensation that when he was first drafted by the Sacramento Kings and got into a game that the closed captioning people didn't understand and couldn't spell Stauskas. So they put Sauce Castillo and someone freeze framed the picture, put it on the internet. And Stauskas got home one night and he's like, what's with y'all calling me Sauce Castillo? Do I have a nickname I'm not aware of? And then they made him aware of it, and it took off even more. And before anyone knew Sauce Castillo could play, I mean, Stauskas could play, he was just Sauce Castillo.
That's
funny. Nobody knows him. So, you know what? That'd be a perfect guest for your podcast.
Hey,
man.
There you go.
15 minutes of fame.
Well, the Sauce other Castillo. Story about Nick Stauskas that people didn't realize was he was just a high school basketball player, and he created a YouTube channel and put all these trick shots on there and him shooting the basketball. And it translated into getting a full scholarship from Michigan. And in 2 years, he went pro and was a lottery pick.
Wow.
And if he doesn't do the YouTube thing, he maybe never even gets a scholarship.
Impressive.
That's crazy. By the way, other trades going on?
Oh, more?
Well, Jeff Passan is reporting that JT Realmuto is now a Philly.
I had seen this morning that the talks were heating up.
Yep. So that looks to be done, according to
if you're the Astros, that
him
sucks.
And the sources. Yep.
Well, so there's that. There's baseball just swooning in and taking over the trade deadline.
I love how some people on the text line and the Twitter are being overly dramatic about the Rockets.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, we should have traded 11-9 first-round picks to get Anthony Davis. It's like, bro, okay, look, I get that you guys want to get some of these guys, Mirotić and some of these names that have come up, and Gasol, and people are like, oh, we got to go get these guys. But you understand that trades are two ways, and they have to be beneficial, and they have to work financially, and there's they have to make sense for both teams, and they have to be a win-win. It's great to want all of the superstars, but you have to be able to make it work.
Well, I think that's one of the more frustrating things that general managers in all sports have to deal with is the second they don't get that sexy name in the offseason is the second they get the criticism of you weren't being aggressive enough right. in the offseason. And it's not necessarily the case. A lot of times they do pursue the big names that you're looking for. They just can't make a deal.
And then you find out that they tried, like the Astros with Harper.
Bryce Harper.
And the Astros with the closer from Baltimore.
Zach Britt.
Yeah. So they try, but look, man, it takes two to tango. And sometimes the other team says...
And I've been actually trying to respond to some of these people to try and just spread a little knowledge to them in the fact that what they don't realize, in the NBA, the trade has to come within 15%.
Yep.
So there's people that are hot under the collar, they didn't get Jimmy Butler. Well, in order to get Jimmy Butler, you can throw first-round picks at him, but they don't count. They count for like a million or two. What they're counting is you got to get within 15% of $25 million or whatever Butler's making, which means you got to give up Tucker and Gordon and all the resources that they didn't have, and it makes it virtually impossible.
Yeah. Somebody texted and said, please ask Nick which team got the most attractive players in each trade.
we do got to make our picks out of the East because we got calls.
You
we
said teased. Markelle Fultz was cute during the break, right?
I did not say that.
I love that we just put all this mean stuff on Nick. Poor guy.
Hell you, Dylan. Here he comes.
All right, so we teased it before the break, and then we'll get to the calls. So who do you guys have coming out of the East?
Who do you have?
Oh, you want me to go first?
Yeah.
I can go first if you want.
Go ahead.
Go.
I mean, I liked Toronto before the addition of Gasol, and now I really like Toronto. So my pick is going to be the Raptors coming out of the East this year.
I really feel like Philly has done a lot. They've been kind of hanging back. They're sitting there right there in the middle of the pack. I know they're 6.5 back, but I feel like in the playoffs, they present a lot of matchup problems for a lot of folks in the East. And I know the Greek Freak does as well. But I feel like Philly has this weird mix of athletic guys and the right people in the right positions to be able to be a threat either as a perimeter team, as a slow it down, back to the basket team. I like Philly.
I'll tell you right now, it's obvious who I'm going with. I think that
Milwaukee,
the Raptors have everything that you need in a team. Yeah, because I was going to – everybody thought – I don't think the Bucks are there yet. I don't think that Adetokounmpo is a superstar that can get his – without having a more consistent jump shot, okay? I think Mirotić makes them better, but I still think they lack consistent shooting from the outside. I think Toronto's got every piece you need because you've got veterans like Ibaka. You've got Lowry who runs the show and can make the three now. He developed a shot, another guy that didn't have one coming in. Kawhi you can put down on any guy in the East and shut them down. Their bench is one of the best in the league. And I think that they have the right. I think Danny Green helps them a ton from defensively and from making shots. I think the Bucks are a year or two away, and I think that Philly's going to have a tough time. They've added so many pieces. Chemistry might be an issue. Jimmy Butler's been a little bit pissy with all of his minutes and getting the ball enough kind of thing, and then Embiid doesn't like that he gets the ball enough. I like what they've done, but I think if you need a team that's already established and good, I like Toronto.
Toronto? Okay. Yeah. Cool.
And I forgot. And you're right, Nick. Adding Gasol over Valanciunas, I think it's a big get.
Yeah.
So it should be fun to watch.
It's huge. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll continue to roll. We're starting to get some calls as well. Barry's got some text messages to get to. And if you guys want to reach us, 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. Call and text that number. Also hit us up on Twitter. And, of course, we are the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second hour of the show. We continue to roll. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Again, a reminder, our friends from the Houstonian are going to be here at 2:30, including Bob, one of their trainers, who his dad played in the NFL. And he is a guru of all sports and things. So we'll have, if you guys have questions for us to get to him, especially you guys participating in the weight loss challenge, just hit us up on text or Twitter. And we'll try and get him some of those questions as we get him in the 2:30 segment. So with that being said, we've got plenty to catch up on in terms of those tweets, those texts, and those other things, right?
Right. Sorry. Oh.
What are you playing, video games?
Distracted ass.
Yeah,
Barry.
What are you doing?
You guys carry on without me.
Oh.
Want to get some of these calls?
Yeah, let's go get some of the calls in. So Clarence, our good friend, coming in with a little NBA talk. What's up, Clarence?
What up, guys?
What's up, man?
First off, two things. First off, Dell Demstune.
Easy.
Numb nut, no good, sucky GM. I bet everyone, all the people who are complaining about their GMs not making deals, Don't say nothing. I have Dell Demps as a gift. Just no.
But Clarence, before you pass judgment on Dell Demps, don't you have to see what he gets for Anthony Davis? Are you mad that he's unloading Mirotić and other guys?
I'm mad he's unloading Mirotić and other guys.
Okay.
You go from a 15 to 16 point per game player to a 3 to 4 point. It's just not working. You should build around the young guy. And you're going to get rid of Anthony Davis eventually. And the second thing is, it's more of a question. Do you think that everyone is making moves and building their rosters for next year and not this year, since I don't think anyone can compete with the Warriors right now, knowing that most of their players are going to go in free agency, all that?
Appreciate the call, Clarence. Go ahead.
I don't think so. I mean, I think there are teams that feel like they have an opportunity to be. Most teams aren't going to just roll. I mean, the NBA is not going to just roll over and be like, well, there's always next year. That you might as well do that until that team gets broken up. So I think teams feel like they have a legitimate shot. Look, the Warriors aren't undefeated. They lose games.
Well, arguably the Rockets had them on the ropes last year.
Yeah,
right.
That was a perfectly set roster. Although, if Iguodala was healthy, I think it would have changed things.
It would have changed things as well, too, right? But I think to Clarence's point, the assumption is Durant will be playing elsewhere next year, and that opens it up and makes it more of a level playing field for those teams that have made moves to be kind of on that next tier.
Uh-huh.
So maybe that's where they're thinking, but I think this is it's twofold. You're obviously targeting the Warriors first and foremost, and your goal this year and every year until proven otherwise is to construct a roster that can compete with them. But if indeed Durant goes somewhere next year, your chances are better and you're already loaded for the near future to compete with whoever because of the moves you're making now. But I think to Barry's point, they're always still thinking about this year unless you're so far gone that you're thinking about the future. It might be not just next year, but teams like New Orleans and Washington that
Orlando.
Lost Wall. Those guys, those rebuilding teams, Cleveland, they're just trying to stack as many picks as they can get and as many friendly contracts as they can get and young guys so they can press forward and try and rebuild.
And I'm sure there's some teams out there that are probably looking to potentially pluck a guy like Kevin Durant, but I don't know if they're necessarily giving up on this season because of that. So I think it's a possibility that they get somebody else.
Yeah.
I mean, they get someone like a Kevin Durant, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they don't care about this season. So I think teams, if there's an opportunity for you to be in the playoffs, especially even if you're just a 6 or a 7 seed,
yeah,
there's a chance there.
I mean, look, that's what you always say, right? So you say there's a chance. So as long as you're in the playoffs, and Clarence is as hard as he is being on New Orleans right now, when you look at what the Pelicans did last year, they made a hell of a run. They eliminated the Blazers last year.
The game before the Western Conference
Finals?
Yeah,
they lost Boogie Cousins, but played better. Before. They added Mirotić. They added some pieces. They were playing good basketball. They eliminated the Blazers, and they gave you a lot of hope. But then Boogie went to greener pastures, if not for the money, but for the success of the Warriors. And people started, you know, starting to lose hope again. And now they're a mess with trying to find a home for Anthony Davis. But, you know, I don't think you ever mail it in until you're done. You're down to your last game.
There are teams that like Philly, like Toronto, like... I mean, I think there's even some of the teams in the West that feel like, you know, you think the Denver, Denver's only a game and a half back. Denver doesn't feel like they're out of it.
And here's the thing. People aren't thinking about this just quite yet. And we don't know what he's going to be. But someone brought it up on Twitter, too. They were poo-pooing all over Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas had a hip injury so bad and he tried to avoid surgery. And it didn't work out for him in Cleveland and then the Lakers. But he had the offseason surgery. Hasn't played a game yet for the Nuggets. And people forget he's on their roster. But he's getting close. If he comes back after the break and he could be anywhere close to the Isaiah Thomas he was in Boston, and you add that piece to a very, like you said, a team that's a game and a half outside of the Warriors, they play a style of basketball that's...
Just like last year, the Rockets weren't scared of the Warriors. I doubt that the Nuggets are scared of the Warriors. I mean, you've got in Oklahoma City, you've got guys that are confident. I mean, they realize who they are and what they are. They're not going to be scared.
Last year, our knock on the Thunder was they weren't deep enough. Yeah. They went out and they got some depth.
They got and again in the East, I don't think Toronto, Boston, Philly, I don't think any of those teams look over in the West and go, whoa, there's just no way we can beat the
Warriors. They want a shot at them.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. The Cavs are no more. So you want to be that young team that gets, because you want to be the first. You want to be the first of that new generation of teams that says, you know what? I'm not only not afraid of the Warriors, I want them. Yeah. I want to see them. I want to see how I stack up and I want to see how I can do. And I think that that's what you're looking at. You're looking at four teams in the East.
Yeah.
And you're looking at a couple teams in the West. I think the Rockets still fully believe that they can beat or compete with the Warriors.
Totally agree.
All right, Tyler.
Yeah.
Before we get to break, we'll get you back in here. Let's go. What's up?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up, man?
Not a lot, man. Hey, I wanted to call and talk buyouts. I know Daryl Morey's been pretty active in the past, this season, you know, in other seasons. But, I mean, I'm pretty happy with what we did when it comes to dumping contracts. I mean, that's pretty nice. I mean, if Daryl Morey can't get everybody he wants, I mean, he's going to strategically move it around as best as he can. But I just wanted to see if you guys thought that we'd have a shot at Wesley Matthews, who just agreed to a buyout with New York. And then, Joel, I saw your piece on Chandler Parsons as a possible buyout. But, yeah, man, I just wanted to see if you guys had anybody in mind or you think that's what Daryl Morey was waiting on. All right, man, y'all have a good day.
Thanks, Tyler. Appreciate the call.
I mean, listen, I think that there's a lot of teams trying to get Wesley Matthews Jr.
And there's four teams right now that I've heard that he's going to consider.
So
Rockets are one of them.
Yeah. I don't think it's in that order, though. I don't think they're
heard Toronto, option. Oklahoma City,
mm-hmm.
Philadelphia, Philly. And the Rockets.
And I think you almost had the right order.
I think you're
I would be willing. It would be Toronto, Philly, the Rockets, and then Oklahoma
City. I tend to agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think you're right. I think now, in terms, it depends on how much playing time means to a guy like that, because I think he'll get more playing time in Oklahoma City because they have a dire need for a three mm-hmm. that could fit with Russ and PG.
But don't think it's about the ring either? Which of the teams that are interested have the best chance of winning a ring?
Yeah,
I think that has a lot to do with it. That's also why I think Toronto and Philly are up top.
If you look at OKC and you look at, well, they can match up with most of the guys on the Warriors.
But they got to get out of the West.
But again, you want your shot at him, and you could get him, right?
Easier path, though, is through the East to the championship. Because then it's...
Barry, I don't know. Aside from the Warriors, I think the easier path to the Western Conference Finals is the West.
No, the easier path to the championship
to the title?
Game, to the title games, to the finals, is the East.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
I think four teams that you we just mentioned are going to beat the hell out of each other. By the time they get to the Warriors, they might even not be full
but
strength.
But unless you're getting added to the Warriors, in the West, you have no shot. At least on Toronto and Philly, you have a shot of getting to the finals. If the Warriors aren't the ones that snatch you up after the buyout, you have no shot in the West. It's just, we all know that.
I mean, yeah.
So I do think the path is easier in the East. That's why I think he would go to either Toronto or Philly
first. But again, you get there and you're the Rockets last year and no one really thought that anybody could beat the Warriors, and the Rockets should have. So at least you get them, and if you get them healthy, you don't beat the hell out of each other like the teams in the East are going to do. But you're right. I mean, we started the whole thing by saying, look, I don't think anybody catches the Warriors this year.
Yeah.
So, all right, we're going to continue to roll on. We're going to table the NBA discussions for a little bit here as we bring in our friends from the Houstonian. We're going to talk a little bit about that weight loss challenge that we're doing with the usual suspects and ways that you guys might get some tips to make your goals and paths to losing weight and feeling better a little easier. It's the second half of the show coming up right around the corner. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
So, you want to go out tonight but don't know where to go? Easy fix. Head over to culturemap.com for the latest social happenings going on in the city.
Hey, guys.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back. 90 in the books, 90 still to go, the big show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, as we continue to roll on a Thursday. And you know, like we normally like to do on Thursdays at about the midway point, as we like to help you get on through your weight loss challenge as we're doing this thing for the next couple of months. And we like to give you pointers, tidbits, and helpful anecdotes that might help you lose some weight.
Get on fat.
Get healthier.
Yeah.
And have some more fun in terms of doing what we do. And as we've told you, there is no better place than the premier place of all places to stay at for a staycation or otherwise when you have friends coming into Houston than the Houstonian. It's got unbelievable facilities. It's a five-star atmosphere. And part of that is their gym, their workout facilities. And one of the trainers, Bob Talamini, joins us right now. Bob is one of 30 trainers on staff at the Houstonian.
But if you hear him tell it, he's the best. He's the most sought-after, wildly popular, the absolute
best. Bob, I tell you
best.
Right now, you cannot cuss. It is not satellite radio. I know you wanted to right now and say that's a bunch of, but it's crap.
Bob walked in and said, y'all got the best. And I was like, well, good for you. At least you're confident. The other 29 guys not so much, huh?
No, you're absolutely right about the facility.
Yeah.
And we buy all the fun stuff and all the good stuff. But I tell you what, the stuff you can't buy with the people and all the other trainers, those dudes are smart.
Yeah,
so we got a lot of smart trainers, and we do just about anything we can. And if we don't know how to do it, we figure it out.
I gotta let people in on the joke. When we were sitting here,
we were
told that Bob was the best, and he never said that. So we just had to.
I told him
I was going to throw him under the bus right away. So
my good friend Celise is here, and Celise is the marketing guru behind the Houstonian.
Yeah.
And she was giving us a little extra information on Bob. But Bob, I think one of the greatest things before we get down to the whole weight loss challenge and everything like that is that athleticism obviously runs in your family, but your dad played for the Oilers and played professional football. That's pretty cool.
That's Pop. Yeah, he's a good man. He was good in the athletic arena, and he's good in the people arena. So, yeah, he's good.
What position did he play?
He played guard.
Okay.
And he played for the Oilers for about 8 years, and then he went to the Jets and played in the Super Bowl there. So it's always interesting. We listened to the Super Bowl this last weekend, obviously, and he's always funny to talk to about because he's like old school. You know, walked to school in the snow, wind blowing, you know, all that.
Yeah.
So he's like, he just doesn't get all the hair sticking out of the helmets and all the celebrations and, of course, the money.
Right.
You know, he told me he made like $300 a game is what he made.
Wow.
And I think for the Super Bowl he told me $15,000 to $19,000. And so
he played in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he played for the Jets, the third bowl.
Oh, with Namath.
Yeah.
That's
crazy. So he's got a ring.
Oh yeah, Pop carries that ring still right on that right
hand.
That's
awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pop's all right.
That's great
cool,
stuff.
Man. Now you're pretty good yourself, 30 years of experience in the fitness industry. You're a personal trainer, you're a cycle instructor. What I liked about the bio is you specialize in outdoor adventure training.
Correct.
So does that mean like you go out and fight bears to get in shape, or what does that mean?
No, I do. I guess it's interesting because my dad came from the football arena, but back in the day, he never pushed me to plays. But so I was surfing and I was riding my mountain bike and getting into all sorts of trouble that way. But eventually I got into adventure racing, which is a sport basically where they turn you loose out in the backcountry for between 1 and 10 days, and you got to find your way back. And then,
oh, wow.
You know, just I learned a lot from that.
It just sounds like bad parenting.
Well, yeah, I mean, exactly. Yeah, that's what I told my dad. The first race I did was like a 10-day race in Australia. And I called him and said, hey, Pop, I got into this race, and it's going to be great, and it's 10 days, and we don't sleep, and you're out in the middle of nowhere. And he goes, is that a good thing?
Exactly.
And I said, yeah, Pop.
So how does that translate to, because we always try and give people in the weight loss challenge different ways. It doesn't have to be a treadmill or lifting weights. There's other ways to build up your physical fitness and have more fun doing it. So explain it. Is that the wall and the rock climbing and biking and things like that? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on the fun part. I mean, mm-hmm. generally speaking, the people probably that are doing your weight loss challenge are beginners. I mean, you have different levels. Okay, you got beginners and you got people that are doing it regularly and you got the crazy people that do it all the time. But for the people in the beginning, they just want to do something. You get started right. Easy. And my big thing is, it's the little insignificant things that you do or you don't do that either make or break you. So, in other words, if you're doing little things every single day, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you're doing your walking, all those little things every day, you can look out over the few months, it's going to make a difference. But if you, and it goes the other way as well, if you do the bad things every day, if you're just eating, oh, I'm just going to eat a little bit of chocolate, or I'm going to eat a little bit of this, and those little things add up.
Get out of my life, Bob.
Yeah, no, sorry about that.
I was just going to have a little ice cream last night, and then I ate the whole thing. So
yeah, I
get it.
You think it's insignificant, but you have to have the foresight to look out 2, 3, 4, 5 months and say, okay, if I do this every single day, it's not a big deal, but it's going to make a difference.
Now, where are you on this? Because I've heard different things. Some trainers will tell you that, like, long-distance running and cardio, that style, isn't as conducive to weight loss is maybe high intensity interval training, or for that matter, just weightlifting is. Because I mean, every long distance runner I've ever seen is thin as a rail. Where do you fall on this kind of dialogue that goes on within the fitness industry?
Yeah, it's probably a good mix, but I'm going to probably tend to say that your high intensity stuff and your weightlifting is going to help you a little bit more. I mean, you're right. All the runners are thin, you know, long distance runners. But if you looked at, I always say, if you look at a marathon runner and you look at a sprinter, which one looks better to you?
Yeah, that definitely. Yeah, there's a lot more muscle mass. There's
the
a lot.
Sprinters, yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
Correct. It's
yeah.
a sprinter. So if you put it that way, you can say, oh, look, you know, you don't have to go out and run, you know, 10 miles. If you run in short stuff, and I think the weights is another big factor that people overlook. Okay, I got to go out and burn all these calories. Well, I got news for you. It's not going to be, you know, you're not going to be able to burn enough calories. You can eat, you know, if you run 8 miles, you burn 800 calories, let's say. If you run 8 miles, mm-hmm. that takes you a couple hours maybe.
Right.
Well, you know how quick you can eat 800 calories.
I just did it for lunch today.
Yeah, you just did it. I mean, so, you know, you can eat a lot very quickly. So it's going to come down to the diet. And I know we got Denise, I think, coming on next week. She's great. She's one of our dietitians. She's going to be great. But it's diet, and then it's also doing the weightlifting. Because, again, the other thing I say is that your muscles in your body are like the engine. That's what burns all your calories.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the more muscle you have, so to speak, the bigger the engine. You know, so if you don't have any muscle, you've got a 4-cylinder car. If you got a bunch of muscle, you got a 12-cylinder car, and you're burning all sorts of gas.
I'm a scooter.
A scooter.
Okay. I am a scooter.
So let's talk about the weightlifting then for a little bit here, because of the fact that a lot of people think, and some people are embarrassed to go in the gym because they're not throwing up that big weight. Yeah, but yeah. A lot of times it's less weight, more reps do you more good than it does to be benching a couple hundred pounds and doing things like that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'll say first off, weightlifting, I mean, It's great. I mean, but I have to admit, and you can talk to all my buddies at work, they're probably laughing right now, but I don't lift a lot of weights. I do a lot of body weight stuff. And so they can do that, number one. You know, you can do that
sure.
for your resistance training. But yeah, I mean, you got to do something to get those muscles going.
Let's say I don't really exercise and I'm trying to lose weight, and we have a lot of listeners that are in the weight loss challenge, and they're probably like me, they might be able to do the diet thing and stay kind of disciplined on that. It's the exercise thing. I'm 44. It's hard to get motivated. If you were to tell me to do one thing, a physical activity, one thing a day, just to get myself into the mood and
where I want.
Yeah. What would you tell me to do every day?
I mean, again,
it would be easy to start.
It's going to come back to that walking thing. You know, they have all those, you know, like the Fitbits and all this electronic stuff going on now, which is great. I mean, there's 10,000 steps a day, which is not a dead set. I mean, if you come in and you told me I'm not doing 10,000, I say, hey, if you want to do 4,000 or 5,000, that's good. But it's just little things like that. I mean, you know, get started. I like the community idea, getting with people, telling them, hey, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to lose 10 pounds. So you got, you know, 10 people asking you every day, what'd you do today to lose your weight? So, I mean, it's going to be something simple like that.
You a believer in that 10,000 steps thing? I kind of feel like that's, where did that come from? Like, who came up with the fact that, 10,000 steps? I'm like, I'm still kind of chubby.
I think it came from the people jealous that they didn't get the ice bucket challenge credit. So they decided to come up with something else.
What's the significance of the 10,000 steps?
The story behind the 10,000 steps is that back in the 60s, like, they started coming up with these pedometers. Yep. And this is in Japan. And so they say, okay, we're going to start walking. And for whatever reason, this 10,000 steps came up. This is your goal, all these guys. So it's spread across the globe. And they've done a couple studies that have shown that it does help if you do 10,000 steps a day. Yeah. But they also said that, you know, you don't have to do 10,000 steps. If you do 6,000, that's plenty. But again, the bottom line is you get a little bit done. Look at the insignificant things. I mean, right now it's so bad because – I was listening to the radio this morning coming in. They're talking about a stock. It was a stock show, and they're talking about this this iRobot company. They had earnings. Everything was great because they make these, you know, vacuums. Mm-hmm. This guy's because they're coming out with a lawnmower. They're coming out with all this stuff that makes us sit on our butts while we used to be able to do it.
Sure.
Groceries the same way. You can call somebody. They get your groceries for you. You don't even have to get out of the car anymore. So
yeah, but let me know when you get to the bad part. This is great. What are you talking about?
I mean, and it comes down to being sensible, right? Because it's just like you could take the elevator, but if you take the stairs, there's more benefit. You could eat that cheeseburger, but if you eat a salad, there's more benefit.
Exactly,
so a lot of times it's common sense.
Yeah, the little things. Just pick on the little things, and it's going to help you out and stay with it. Get in within the community. Have fun. Talk to some trainer, somebody that knows what they're doing. Call us at the Houstonian, and then...
Everybody needs to check out Bob at the Houstonian. Stop by the Houstonian. I said, even if you're Houstonians and you're looking for a place to escape without leaving the city, get over to the Houstonian. It's a beautiful piece of land.
Great place.
It's a luxurious place where they take care of you and wait on you and really make you feel special. But how are you on Twitter?
No, sir. I'm not really
smart man.
Tech guy.
It's just because they don't have computers and tents in Australia when you're trying to work 10 days without sleep?
You look like you still have a fax machine. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
8-track, yeah.
No, 8-track, nice.
Hey, man, my co-trainers are laughing at me right now because I'm like the dumbest tech guy you know. But
No, you've met Joel?
That's not nice. That's not nice.
He's way worse.
Well, I knew I'd like Joel.
You just pick your favorite soup and just say, if you need to reach Bob, get the other soup can and get some string. And you can reach him by a phone.
Stop by
the Houstonian. See, Bob. Excuse me.
I like that.
And we appreciate Salise and the people from the Houstonian backing this entire weight loss challenge. Again, if you win one of the four weight loss categories, during this challenge, you win a staycation at the Houstonian.
So awesome.
And I'm telling you, that's a phenomenal prize. Check them out. Check them out online. And let us know what you think, because it's a great place. Bob, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys having us over.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much.
There you go. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. Come back with a whole lot more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I see you there.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Again, sometimes we get so caught up in the news of the day and, of course, the trade deadline consuming us with the NBA, we forget that our weight loss challenge is still going on. We got a lot of great people that are losing weight, having fun. And it was great to have Bob in here and Salise and the people from the Houstonian to really remind people that there's some great prizes involved and there's always different ways where you can have fun and you find out you're losing weight along the way. What are you doing?
I don't know. I have a screw loose. Apparently.
Well, he's done it again, Nick. Let AD know he's breaking stuff
again.
You
do have a screw loose.
No, it's just, I don't know where it came from. It's just there. Shut your mouth. I'm not.
So you're back to breaking stuff.
No, I don't know where that came from. That was weird. But yeah, I think Bob did a great job. And appreciate the nice things that the Houstonian provided for us. I don't have a water bottle, so I'm pretty pumped about this. A hydro flask is what it's called.
Something tells me you ain't putting water in that.
That'll be whiskey.
I can see that.
Whiskey, Diet Coke, maybe both. Crown and Coke just mixed up in there.
I can see that.
Yeah, I'll probably rock that.
You probably need to stay hydrated out there and cut and shoot. You can't just be
okay. You know,
I mean, the interesting thing is when Bob was talking about these outdoor sports that he does, where you get dropped off way out and you don't sleep and you find they can just drop you off on the backside of your property, and it'll take you a couple days to get to the house.
When he said that they had robot mowers, I was like, "What, Bob? Stop pretending like this is a bad thing and tell me more."
Think about what we were talking
about. There's something I can automate mowing my yard?
We were talking about robots the other day that Lisa in the morning show said can determine your mood.
Right.
And now you got robots that can cut your lawn.
I'm in.
Vacuum your carpet and your floors.
I'm in.
I mean, I'm not shocked. We were talking about a washing machine and a dryer that actually...
Fold your clothes.
Yeah, remember?
I'm in with that. I have
now,
no
that
problem.
I'm definitely in for.
I did like hearing just start walking, like just get going, because I'll be honest with you guys, and I'm trying, and I'm proud of the suspects that participated in the basketball game and they're losing weight. In fact, what I would love to hear, since it's Thursday and we had our weight loss challenge guest of the week, mm-hmm. I'd love to hear for the rest of the day. We've got an hour and 10 minutes left in the show. How much weight have you lost? If you're in the challenge, hit us up. Shoot a text over 713-780-3776. You're such a mean, mean man.
I'm just at. Is it? Am I wrong?
Yeah. 198.
So you're down?
I was 207.
Golly, how do you do that? You had ice cream last night?
Again.
I'm such an a-hole, man.
Again. That's weighing naked in the morning. I was fully clothed here. So honestly, I've probably only lost a pound or two at the most. But, I want to hear from the listeners, the peeps, the suspects. How much weight have you lost? 713-780-3776. Just text the show. Tell us what you lost or hit us up on Twitter, either one, and I'll try to get them all in. Okay. Or if you've gained, like Nick, if you've gone the wrong direction, you just, just can't help yourself.
There's still time to go down, though.
Eating bear claws, three at a time.
But there's still plenty of time to lose weight, even if you've gained.
There is. You've got about 6 weeks left, somewhere in there, maybe five. I really don't know the exact.
I don't either, but I know that a lot of people
figure that out.
Have been doing a lot of good stuff.
Michelle can tell us.
Bad news if you're a Rockets fan. You were hoping Wesley Matthews would be available and being considered, as we mentioned, by one of the four teams that we said probably were on his list. We were all wrong. The New York Knicks will be releasing Wesley Matthews Jr., and his plan is to sign with the Indiana Pacers.
Interesting.
Why? You and I just got done saying, of all the teams, he's going to want to win. He might want to win a ring. He also wants playing time. He wants to play with a contender. Once you lose Victor Oladipo, your season's over for the Pacers.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. We should just talk football.
That's annoying to me. Yeah.
Yeah, that's... Well, I mean, does he have ties to Indy in some way?
I mean...
I don't know, but...
Another guy that's being bought out is Wayne Ellington. The Rockets were supposed to be in on him. Detroit trying to get him. They don't need a wing anymore. You're right. We don't need to start talking about any more wings, I don't think, for the Rockets. I think the Rockets really need to focus on getting at least one big guy.
Yep.
I felt like the wing was the priority... Before all the moves, and now that they've
got
Shumpert, now that they've got Shumpert, yep.
and the way they play defensively with the switching style, and that was a comment that I saw about Shumpert. I'm not just suggesting that I know that, but somebody said that as a kind of, and I've heard you use this several times, but as a 3-and-D guy, and he's not going to be a great 3-and-D guy. He's going to be a depth guy. He's going to be above average on the bench. But they said that he's one of those guys that he can play with the way that the Rockets do switch. And anybody that watches the Rockets games knows that. But he's adept at that. He can flow defensively with the rest of the team and pretty much guard anybody on the court. So I think you're right. Because he can do that and gives you a guy that's capable of doing that, getting a big body now and solving the rebounding problem is going to be big for the Rockets down the stretch.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting.
And I don't think he'll mess up the locker room. I think he's going to be able to deal with the star. Oh my God.
When they made the deal, I went back and looked at his Twitter and kind of went through. He seemed like a good dude.
Really
like
genuine guy.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
Good guy.
Fagan caught up with Doug Christie, who does now the TV for the Kings. And Doug Christie was so overwhelmingly positive and glowing. And then after the game, they asked De'Aaron Fox the same question. They said, in terms of a guy that will light up the room, a guy that brings energy every
day. Very positive.
But is extremely positive with all these young kids and all the things he's done in Sacramento. They said he's a phenomenal locker room guy. And they need that because we all know that locker room's kind of fragile. And it's also got some delicacies to it, like the fact that Tucker, we all know that he's tough and he does a lot for the Rockets, but the fact that he grew up with Chris Paul, befriended James Harden, and that both guys love him was another major factor that you had to consider. That's why he wasn't traded for Jimmy Butler.
And then, I mean, look, Shumpert played with LeBron, so he knows what it's like to play with a star player where all the attention is going towards one guy. I think he'll be able to handle what James Harden and Chris Paul and Clint Capela bring to the table in terms of what they bring.
A shout out to Ronnie the Gym Rat on Twitter. Said he's down 17 pounds.
Good for you, man.
Dude, that's badass. Congrats, Ronnie.
Yeah, good job, Ronnie. Yeah. We love to hear that kind of thing. And again, our success story last year was Mandy, but he's on his way to kind of trying to do the same thing.
And then there's this. Hey, guys, this is Demetrius. Corn dogs are 50 cents at Sonic today. I just had four of them.
Not mad at you, but it's your challenge.
Nick will meet you there.
We still got rooms that we can give away at the Red House.
Hilarious.
You might not be going to the Houstonian. Right. All right, we'll be back. The final hour of the show is next. It's the usual suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
At the Red House.
ESPN 97.5.